Hey, everyone. It's executive producer for ESPN Milwaukee, Ashton Rotman. Hope you enjoy this brand new endeavor of Steve Scafidi and Alex Stroph. Do want to remind everyone, though, just something new. It's a podcast. So, yeah, there's going to be some cursing and not a small amount. And also not the nice ones. Definitely the bad ones. So everyone enjoy and good luck to if there's ever an episode two. Bye.
A generational divide.
This is what you don't know about the Stever here.
The Stever?
That's my Lambo identity, the Stever.
Two guys who just love talking about...
He's smarter, funnier, and more wise than he's ever been, but he can't stay on top of it.
Well, they just love talking.
You got it. They have to control transfers.
Is it the United States government? No. Should it be? Maybe.
Not. Well, certainly not, because they don't even enforce their own rules. Political comment inserted.
Let's hit the cheap seats with Alex and Steve.
Episode one, the highly anticipated cheap seats. Scafidi and Stroph. I'm Alex Stroph. That's Steve Scafidi from the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. Ashton Rotman is our executive producer on this program. What this program is, Scafidi, is what exactly you were explaining?
At the highest level of the organization, which is GKB, which is Craig Karmazin, I think they said to themselves, who are the two smartest, wittiest, I don't want to say best looking, but
I was going to say handsome. Yeah.
Handsome guys at the respective stations, ESPN, 94.5, and of course, 620 WTMJ. And this is what they got.
Wow.
Whether there were some first refusals along the way, yeah. I have no idea. I don't know. I wasn't
first,
involved.
Second, third, fourth refusals, right. But here we are nonetheless.
Paired up together.
We are just going to yap about sports and business and all of the in-betweens and maybe some nonsense along the way, and we hope, just like Ashton Rotman behind the glass, you are along for the ride. So we are going to do this, I don't know, once a week, maybe every other
week.
When
we feel like it.
Whenever we feel like it, because we are the smartest, wittiest, and damn, we are the best looking.
Ooh, yeah.
So we do things kind of how we want around here. Now, we are in the midst of, and we will solve this issue by the end of episode one, the really fun part of the sports calendar. We are recording this the morning of March 27th, which of course is opening day in Major League Baseball. It is also day one of the Sweet 16 in NCAA college basketball. Now, Steve, last week, a week ago today, of course, the tip-off to the Round of 64 and March Madness. And we are lucky to work in a place where we have the four letters behind you of ESPN. So it is... Not only is it, you know, not frowned upon, it is almost encouraged that we have games on TV.
Branding is encouraged, yes.
Yes. However, this is not an everyday normal occurrence for other people, right? If you work in an insurance office, if you work at a car dealership, I don't know if watching the games at work is encouraged like it is here. Is that normal? Obviously, you have other business backgrounds, right? You were a mayor for a while.
Yeah.
Were the mayor? Who knew that?
Oh, stop it, Ashton. I could talk the whole show for that.
Yeah. So in other career paths, is games at work like, hey, go for it? I don't know if that's socially acceptable like it is here.
So I worked private sector for a long time, but I worked remote. So we didn't have that sort of office.
Wait, you worked remote before it was cool?
Way before it was cool. I used to do, looking back at my history, I managed 60 people across the country before there were Zoom calls. We couldn't even see each other. And I had a three-hour phone conversation with each of those employees in the course of 3 hours from my little locale in my home office in Milwaukee or, at the time, Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah. So I learned a lot about how to manage phone calls and stuff. But regardless of that, I was never really in an office situation.
Okay.
Even though I had a mayor's office, I actually had this, like, it was very small. I hardly spent any time in it because I like to do stuff. I like to be out there. But on the idea or the issue of whether or not it should be provided, that content, March Madness, all the games, I'm open to it. But here's the problem. I don't want it in an operating room. I want these guys focused, sure. Guys and women. I want them focused on what they're doing.
Sure.
Some highly critical jobs. I think maybe law enforcement, just pay attention to your job, public safety, that stuff. Anything else where you can sort of meander away from your desk and consume some college basketball, the best there is? Yes.
I'm hooked on the operating room part of this.
Yeah.
Because I have heard that doctors and surgeons will listen to podcasts. They will.
And music.
And music while they are operating.
They actually argue about that
now,
stuff.
Now, I haven't had a surgery in about 20 years, but I don't know if that's great or not.
Like, no, I don't want that. Music's fine. A podcast, again, I want your attention on me, the patient, laying on that table. So I think that's where my cutoff would be. I think as far as the March Madness thing goes, I love the fact that it's celebrated because it's really sports, college sports at its best. I mean, we talked in the past about NILs and all this stuff. That's sort of transforming all the realities of college. But this is like unadulterated fun. For 20 years in my younger life, I went to Vegas and or Reno for March Madness opening weekend.
Why Reno?
Cheap. Cheaper than Vegas.
Is Reno fun?
Oh, yes.
My dad lives in Vegas, so I certainly understand the appeal there. What the hell's in Reno?
We stayed at the Peppermill Resort.
I thought that was going to be something very different than a resort.
It was the most bizarre place in the world. But the rooms were, the rooms were like $39. I mean, we're talking about insanely cheap. And there was a great restaurant attached to it, but it was about the basketball. And you could wager just like you do in Vegas. So for us, it was easy. Didn't have to fight the crowds. Have you been to Vegas for March Madness?
I have not for March Madness.
It's nuts. It's hard to get to a place to make that bet, sure. Let alone watch it in any comfort or in an actual chair. The sports books get jammed really fast.
Oh, I believe that. Okay, fair enough. Steve, will you hand me that scalpel? Thank you. Holy crap, he did what? I just imagine that would be good in an operating room.
There you go.
Very good. Okay, well, we're good. We're good with it. Now, I got a text from you that I need to ask you about.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it verbatim.
I like to text you. You're a fun text companion.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Likewise.
Yeah.
I find people who discard the crust from their pizza odd.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, because I do that.
So what is it with the crust? You ordered the pizza. You know it comes with crust, and you just discard the crust like it's not important.
Yeah, because that's not pizza.
Pizza can't be pizza without the crust.
This is insane.
Hold on a minute.
Steve has never been more right. I'll let you go, but Steve has never been more
right. Pizza is crust, sauce, cheese, toppings. Crust is just crust. I didn't order a shitty breadstick.
Let me ask you this question. Do you not judge pizza, slice, whole pie on the quality of that said crust?
Boom.
Now, here's the thing. I will eat pizzas that have good crust. And if I'm baking a pizza in my oven, I'm going to throw a butter and hot honey glaze on the crust so it becomes more edible. It is no longer the aforementioned bleepy breadstick at that point, right? That is now an elevated part that is separate from the actual pizza, which is the crust, the sauce, the cheese, the toppings. Now, if you add hot honey, if you add cheese, if you add mascarpone, which I like to add to my pizza. Is that how you say that? Mascarpone cheese?
I have no idea. What is that?
Ashton?
He is correct.
Mascarpone cheese. It's kind of like cheese?
It's like the creamy.
It's almost like a cream cheese, but a little bit different. I add that to my pizza.
The reason I texted that is because I find it disgusting that you stack up all these little pieces of crust. When my wife does this, I'll eat the crust. I don't want that refuse sitting there in my eyesight.
Well, that's like the pickle theory. Have you guys ever heard of the pickle theory?
Oh, I'm in on this. I have a story too, but I'm in on this.
Okay, so the pickle theory is an old story that has circulated online for years and years and years. And it is about this couple that went on their first date. And this man offered the woman on their first date, "Would you like my pickle?" And she said, "Yes, I love pickles." So anytime they go out to eat, he would give her his pickle. That is not a sexual reference.
That's where I was going with it.
Steve and I are like, yeah, we're waiting for it.
Give me something.
And ultimately they get married. They've been together forever. And she finds that 20 years into their marriage that her husband actually loves pickles. But because he loved her more from their first date, he has always given him, again, not sexual, his pickle instead of eating it himself, despite loving pickles. Isn't that fascinating? It's lovely. It's a wonderful love story. Well, and your dirty ass minds are in the gut.
No.
I was referring to his pecker, his pickle.
Well, you said it.
I like pickles too. I don't love pickles. So when I get a pickle, like say I order a cheeseburger or something, which I rarely do now, I give it to my wife, Kathy, because she adores and loves pickles.
So you eat her crust, she eats your pickles.
See, that's the name of the podcast. That's the epitome of a 40 plus year relationship.
That's why, Alex, you eat the crust.
Now my mind's in the gutter. No, my girlfriend eats my crust.
Don't you think it's disgusting? Like piling all that stuff on your plate like
that? I think
that?
The sentences we are saying out loud are disgusting.
Here's a pro tip for anybody that's a crust hater out there, unlike Steve and I, who are professional crust eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Use a dip. Bring a dip into the table.
So, like a marinara or a nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had leftover spinach and artichoke dip at my house. But again, that's just a crappy breadstick.
No, it was
wonderful crust. And all we did was we made the crust even better because I wish I had the pizza left.
Oh, so it's a homemade pizza.
No, it was from somewhere else.
By definition, if you eat the pizza, you love their crust. So that little piece of crust cannot be bad.
No,
by definition.
You're just wasting
food.
Bad.
It's just, no. Well, yeah. But I would say I am probably a food waster.
You ignored my deep dish pizza thing because that's more controversial.
I must have. What'd you
say?
Okay,
so I said,
you don't understand
it, or what?
I don't
understand deep dish pizza. It's like pizza soup.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't want pizza soup.
But Steve, you're Italian.
I am Italian.
You should understand there are different types of pizza. Neapolitan, New York style, Detroit style, Chicago style.
Yeah, those aren't pizza soup, though. That I had one recently.
A deep dish?
Yes. And it was like the crust, they have the high crust on the sides, and it's like this circle of, you know, sauce and all the ingredients, and I could literally have taken a spoon and eaten. It's like, shouldn't it be baked?
Sounds so good.
Shouldn't that it be baked lovely. More than that? I know it's a big Chicago thing, but I don't generally like Chicago things.
Ashton Rotman is a Chicago area native.
Yes, yes, he is.
And you were probably live by, die by the Chicago style pizza.
No, actually, I will say this. I do like Chicago style deep dish pizza. Once a year is perfect for me, and you have one, maybe two slices.
Yep.
However, tavern style pizza, which many people believe is Milwaukee style pizza, which is actually Chicago style, we wouldn't have to talk about that. That is the way pizza should be made. Thin cracker crust.
Yeah, totally agree.
Burns your mouth when you bite it. Yep. That's what I want.
Hot as possible.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yep. Get that cheese as melted as possible.
Deep dish is a lasagna, essentially.
It is. Yep. It's a pizza version of a lasagna, but that's okay, right? The point you just made is once a year. You said you just ate it. Is that once a year? Or do you eat it often?
Once a year, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to go in with a better mindset to it.
Yeah, and it seems like you didn't enjoy it.
I did enjoy it. It's pizza soup. I don't want pizza soup. I'll have soup if I want soup. Also, why does Chicago take credit for everything? It's like everything came from Chicago. It's not true. What is it, third biggest city now?
Used to be third biggest city.
Yeah, it's getting farther. Pretty soon, San Jose.
It was second? LA was behind it at one point?
At one point,
no
yes.
kidding.
Second city.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, population in terms of size, for whatever reason, I know this. See, we're smart.
And let's be honest, their sports teams suck.
They do, all of them, each and every one of
them. Absolutely.
Happy opening day, White Sox fan.
Right.
New York, LA, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, Fort Worth, I believe you're top five in the United States in order.
You just rattle those off?
I'm a strange individual.
Did you Google that?
I'm right here.
Right.
Now, here's a weird thing about me, Stephen. This was not on a rundown, but I'm going to go here anyway. Wikipedia, do you utilize it?
Yes.
Ashton, Wikipedia, do you utilize it?
How else would I learn anything?
Exactly. That's my point. Steve.
I'm not a hater.
You have an iPhone, correct?
Yes.
Do you have the Wikipedia app?
No.
Ashton, do you have the Wikipedia app?
Didn't know that existed.
It is my fifth most used app probably every week. I spend hours on the Wikipedia
I will get that app. I didn't realize it was an app.
It is life-changing. Any answer you need about if somebody's alive or dead,
well,
as morbid
sort of.
As that is.
It's not all truth-tested. You've got to be aware of that.
Now you sound like a high school social studies teacher.
Okay,
and you as an old man,
I look like one.
You do. I don't want to paint you in that corner. Wikipedia is full of truths. People are monitoring it. They have AI monitoring it. It is full of truths. Put all that BS in the trash can, because Wikipedia preaches the truth and is the best app on my
phone. I will say that's true if you wait 60 minutes. If you wait an hour after something happens, then it'll all be true. Because there's always those people who like to play around with those sites in that first little window.
Well, when the Packers inevitably beat the Bears twice this season.
Ooh, didn't happen last year.
No, it did not. Mm. But it'll once again say that Jordan Love is the owner of the Chicago Bears. Do you view that statement as true or false?
So far, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll take it.
Someone's got to prove to me Caleb Williams actually is something better than just a talented player. He's like that next level.
Well, just a real quick Bears thought, right? They go out and trade for two offensive linemen. They sign one in free agency. Mm-hmm. They are putting all, and they bring in an offensive-minded head coach. They have put everything around him to succeed. If he doesn't, it's just Justin Fields.
All the eggs in one basket is the popular phrase you use. And since it's almost Easter, that's a very appropriate thing to say. See how I wove it all together like that? Using the calendar?
Like an Easter basket?
That's what we
wove
do
it all
here.
Together?
Higher level conversation. I can make those things happen on this microphone.
I'm starting to decide, you know, 15 minutes in, maybe we aren't the smartest people in the building.
Yeah, I wanted to just real quick take notice of how you guys started the show, explaining what the podcast is, and that people higher ups wanted to. Nobody knows this exists except for the three of us, just, by the way.
They will.
They will after today.
Because somebody in this building today, I won't say who it was, her first name's Jackie, said, I hear there's a new podcast that we all want to listen to. Her exact words. So that tells me there's already...
All right, four people now.
Already four people that are... Actually, five, because my wife Kathy knows, and maybe your significant other does
knows.
As well. Yeah, Kathy's excited about it. She loves my work on ESPN.
Okay, well, we love your work
on
ESPN. So
do we. Full disclosure, she likes my work on ESPN more than she likes my work on WTMJ, which is my real gig.
How many times in the calendar year of 2025 do you believe you've said the name Elon Musk on 620 WTMJ?
Oh, fuck. Like a million times. Jesus, I'm so sick of this guy. I am actually hoping, beyond hope, that at some point in the next year, he's not the richest guy in the world, so I don't have to say that anymore.
Is that how you preface him?
Yeah.
I hope you're the richest guy in the world.
Oh, that would be awesome.
The new show open at Cheap Seats would be Cheap Seats with Broke Alex Strofe and the richest man in the world,
that would be
Steve
something.
Scafidi.
And I would share the wealth, I'm telling you right now, to my teammates, to my family.
I don't believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah, don't do that. That's a terrible idea.
Hey, I don't believe you.
Share with people you like. Share with, I mean, us, for sure.
A couple
like
selfish guys.
Yeah,
I'll share with you.
Yeah, if I like you, I will share.
Okay. Let's buy a bar.
Let's buy Scafidi's. It's already named appropriately.
Yeah,
we just put Strofe at the end of it. We're good.
Do you think we could get them as a partner on the show, Scafidi's
Bar? How
has
that not happened?
I believe we've tried. I don't. Have you guys been to that establishment?
I have not. I just learned it was a thing.
I was there twice.
I don't think they have the money.
I was there twice. It's right around the corner from Wolski's.
Yeah.
What do you mean dive bar?
What do you mean?
It's a great topic, by the way. This is my favorite
what
topic.
What is a dive bar?
Define dive bar to me.
Smells weird, small, only a bar, doesn't serve food.
They either take cash only or they hold your credit card for tab.
Yeah, it's a small bar.
Small?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a dive. It's a cool place. It's old school Milwaukee.
Do they serve food?
Yeah, maybe frozen pizza.
Okay.
You know,
classic. That counts as not serving food.
right.
You know, bagged chips, individual bagged chips.
How about that chili that's been sitting in the crock pot behind the bar for like
3 days?
Yeah. I think it's still good.
I love a good dive bar.
Who doesn't? Look where we live.
It's got to smell weird, though. Bathrooms have to reek.
Do you have a current favorite dive bar that you could just off the dome name, either of you?
I mean, yeah, but this one serves food, so I don't know if it counts. But, I mean, I frequent Aliota's in Whitefish Bay.
Sure.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't go to dive bars anymore. I go to, like, bars that I like that have restaurants attached.
Stella's up the street ain't bad. Now, if it's a Marquette game day, the Marquette students tend to flood in there, so I would recommend against that if you want to be bellying up at the bar. But Stella's is solid. I'm still on the search, though. I've only been in Milwaukee 11 months at this point.
Here's my dilemma. My wife doesn't drink. So if I go to a bar in Milwaukee, I have to Uber from Oak Creek, which is like a $37 ride.
Okay.
Drink to my heart's content. Get back in an Uber. So I'm already $70 in, not even counting the alcohol.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my dilemma.
So your wife doesn't drink. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So if you want to go hit the town, it's without her.
Usually. But okay. She trusts me. You know, 40 years plus.
Ashy. Saturday night, book it.
Let's do it.
Saturday night. Well, I'm busy Saturday night. But
yeah. I'm not.
Another Saturday night I'm in.
Yeah, let's do it. We should do
this. I would 100% do it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we should just go to these dive bars and pitch the podcast and be like, have we got a deal for you?
Yeah. Oh, we obviously the exposure is going to be fantastic for these places. It's going to tell the story of each bar. I started as a bartender in college. Repa's was the name. It was a family name. Dive bar in Oak Creek.
Okay.
I loved it. Famous clientele. John Matusik. Remember John Matusik?
Nope.
Goonies. Played in the NFL for the Oakland Raiders. Won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, you're old.
He'd come in.
Yeah, you are old.
He was awesome. He would come in and buy everybody a drink, and then he would walk around the bar and drink all their drinks. That was John Matusik.
I love that move.
That guy was awesome. I seen him take
move.
A guy that was giving somebody grief, picking them up, because John was like 6'8", and about 300.
Going to the Wikipedia app.
And he would hold him up against the wall, a guy that was probably, I don't know, 200 pounds, like it was nothing. Love that guy.
How do you spell Matusik?
Matusyk, something like that. Just put Goonies.
Got it.
Goonies.
Got it. Oh, he's dead. Very dead.
He is dead. Yeah, he died of drugs. Yeah,
died in
sadly
1989.
Played basketball against him in the alumni thing we had at Oak Creek.
He died 9 years before I was born.
Yeah, it's an old story, but a good one. He was one of my most famous clientele.
Okay,
always had a good looking woman on his arm too.
Okay,
not from Oak Creek.
6'8".
Yeah, big dude.
But he would bring him to Oak Creek.
Absolutely. He loved Oak Creek.
I don't know that I've ever spent significant time in Oak Creek.
Well, there's another thing we got to do on a Saturday night, because there's some great places to go. I would actually buy both of you guys dinner and your significant others if you'd like that.
Well, now
yeah,
I think
I'm in. Yeah, we got it.
You should have seen Ashton's. No, you were not. Because when he said a Saturday night in Oak Creek, you went, well.
Maybe.
And then you heard free food.
Yeah.
As the great
true
American.
Story. Another true story. I know I'm monopolizing the conversation. My first boss here at WTMJ, over there at WTMJ, says to me, Steve, why don't you and your wife join my wife and I for dinner? I thought, he goes, you pick the place. I picked the Carlos in Oak Creek, right by my house. Gorgeous Italian food, Sicilian authentic. Beautiful dinner, had the pasta and all the meatballs, all that stuff, and great drinks. At the end, the check comes. I'm just looking at it.
It was his idea?
Yeah, yeah. No. He goes to me, can you get this? No, good person that I am, I got it. But, like, what's that about?
Yeah, if you invite somebody to dinner, it's on you.
My wife still remembers that story. She hates that guy.
Oh, I know who it is. Too,
I bet you do.
I'm not going to say anything.
True story. Don't do that. If you say, I'll buy you dinner, or I want to take you and your whatever out to dinner, You buy the dinner.
That's on you.
Yeah. Come on. Be better.
Dining etiquette.
Yes.
All right. It is opening day in Major League Baseball. The Brewers leading it off today, by the way. They play the Yankees 2 o'clock Central on ESPN, which is the first game of opening day.
Love it.
Which that means the Brewers are big time now, right?
I think so. I think Pat Murphy's instilled something in his team. It's a young team. Question marks with the pitching. A lot of injuries. That's not good. And obviously, we have to get that fixed. But this team, young, you know, Cheerio, all these young players.
Oh, yeah.
I'm freaked about it. And I think the MLB folks and the big broadcast networks are saying, that Brewers team, they got something.
They sure do.
Even though they don't spend like all the money other teams
spend. They're a more exciting version of the Packers, right? They're young. They're up and coming. They don't know what they don't know. But they've got kind of this badass, rugged manager, obviously, the reigning NL manager of the year in Pat Murphy. So opening day in the MLB today, but the real opening day, which is a Milwaukee holiday coming up Monday the 31st, is the Brewers home opener against the Royals. I am off of work on Monday. I'm going to drink about 87 summer shandies, and I'm going to eat probably 14 brats.
You got to have a brat opening day.
Crowd on probably 8 of the 14. Secret Stadium sauce on about 12 of the 14.
You're exaggerating, right? You're not going to eat 14 brats.
And I'm not going to drink 87 beers.
No, I get that one. But the 14, how many brats could you actually eat?
Which is more realistic?
On opening day? I mean, that would be my first. So this is a legitimate holiday in my mind, right? Especially now that I live in Milwaukee. So I view it this way, right? So it is the first time I will drink summer shandy because that's a seasonal beer.
Right.
Despite the fact I think they sell it year-round, but it is a seasonal beer in my eyes. It's baseball season beer. It is the only beer I will drink at AmFam Field. It is the only beer I will drink at Summerfest.
Wow.
Brats. That will be the first brat I have of the day, or of the year, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I eat brats for a legitimate meal probably twice a week all summer long. I will go to the grill, and I will grill up 6 brats. I'll eat 3 or 4 of them. I'll put 2 of them in the fridge. I'll eat them for a late-night snack if I have a late night.
Never cook less than 6. Ever,
never,
ever.
No, never.
You're not cooking one brat on the grill. Come on, well, stop wasting your time. That's
right,
stupid.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're eating 2 in a sitting. Right. Monday, I will probably have 3 or 4.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Like every opening day, whether I'm working on this year, I'm working 10 to 12 anchoring our WTMJ coverage with Greg Matzik. I have a brat with stadium sauce and a Miller High Life.
Oh, High Life is a good choice.
Always champagne and bottled beers. Absolutely love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my only go-tos. Then I walk away. I'm done. Focus on the baseball.
You're also on a diet, aren't you?
Yes, I've lost 36 pounds.
Good for you.
Yeah. Feel good.
Good. Well, brats probably aren't in the diet.
They're not.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can cheat.
Do you get cheat days?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you've been on a pretty strict diet.
Yes. I had no pasta, no bread, no sausage for 2 months.
Wow. Oh, as an Italian.
Yeah. I mean, the pasta thing is...
You are insane.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people say that. Yeah. Especially if they listen to my show.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Opening day stories. You grew up in Milwaukee. You've been here just about your whole life.
Yeah. Skipping out of high school.
High school.
Getting my buddy Dennis's station wagon.
Okay.
When that was the thing.
Wow.
Not SUV, station wagon.
Once again, Ashton, he's old.
Paneling. I'm talking real wood paneling on the side of this sucker. You got to go back to the 60s and 70s for that stuff. I think that went out of style around then. Skip out of school. Always one, because the drinking age was 18, always one of us old enough to buy the beer. We get a couple cases of the bottles. Could be a Rhinelander, could be a Stevens Point beer, could have been a Miller product. And we proceed to drink all of that beer before the game started. There are years that I remember, we never made it into the game. We were passed out in a car. Everyone was gone. Wake up, game's half over.
Wow.
Drinking culture in Milwaukee and Wisconsin was even more insane then than it is now.
Yeah, I think we've taken a step back. Probably for the good in recent years.
Yes, smartly so.
Yeah. So you were 18, but the drinking age was 18 at this point.
Well, I wasn't. One of us was 18 that could get the beer.
Gotcha. Yeah. It wasn't you. Okay.
Right. It wasn't me. I was a youngster.
I would imagine statute of limitations probably up.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think so too. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
To this date, my wife will not drink, what's the schnapps? Some sort of schnapps because she's drank.
Probably.
And she drank too much and she threw up. She'll never touch it again in her whole life. And she's held to that. That's why one of the reasons she doesn't drink.
Yeah. No, well, that's.
Because she did it one time.
That'll do it to you.
Yeah.
And that's like, Ashton, you grew up in Illinois. Malort, is that the name of it?
Yeah, stay away.
Why?
I mean, try it for sure, but
why
stay away.
Is it? Why did? How did?
I don't know. I don't know.
Can you tell how much I'm struggling to ask this
Malort
question?
Malort has been a big, like, it's a Chicago thing. I don't know how it became a Chicago thing. I don't know why it's a Chicago thing. This goes back to Steve's point.
Everything's a Chicago thing.
I have no idea how it started. I only remember it because when the Blackhawks were really good a decade ago, everyone was always going out partying and drinking, and I was like, this can't be that good. And then you try it, and you're like, oh, it's actually worse than you think.
Yeah.
But you got to try it.
But yet people drink it. And I always am amazed by what people consume, even though most of us say, that, oh, that's shit. Why would you drink that?
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
It's customs. It's tradition.
So opening day, you're there 10 at noon. It's a noon first pitch or 12:30 first pitch, whatever it is on Monday. Yeah. What's your plan after you're done with the show? You grab in a couple of bottles?
Yeah, I use my media pass, walk in, have a Miller High Life and a Brat. And I love to talk to people, so I'll just go around and talk to people. Sometimes in my old show, when I had 3 hours to talk about anything, I would interview people, which is you go to opening day. Those conversations get really interesting about the fifth inning.
I did that last year, and prior to the game, it was just me talking to people. You know, how many beers are we having today? What do you think about Craig Counsell, obviously, the first year he was gone last year? It is impressive, and I mean this as a compliment. I'm sincere when I say this. It is impressive the amount of drunkenness people achieve at noon on, like, a weekday.
Yeah.
And again, I understand it's a holiday. It's a local holiday. But I'm impressed by Wisconsin and how drunk they get for opening day. It is impressive.
We all appreciate the bar life. I was a bartender for, 20-plus years, Water Street, other places, other locales, including Oak Creek. And I got to know people drinking and what they were like.
Sure.
But you go to, I was going to say County Stadium, that's an old man thing. You go to the game opening day, they are literally slurring every word, cannot talk.
Did you see the video last year? And I wonder if I'll have a repeat of this year. There was multiple individuals last year who just pissed in the middle of the concourse.
Yeah, just like, come on, dude. The bathroom's right
at
there.
At least find a sink.
Something.
A mop bucket.
I had a woman almost vomit on me a couple years ago, next to me.
Right.
You couldn't take that somewhere else? Nothing ruins your day by having someone throw up on you, trust me.
Whoa, I know. Yeah. Trust me. That happened to me on a school bus growing up. Kid that actually lived up the street from me. Vomited right down my back.
Yeah.
Had to go home. Got me a day off of school, though.
You know that cliched thing where you're supposed to hold your partner's head while they're throwing up?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Does anyone? You have done
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
I've never done that in my whole life. Am I a bad partner?
No, I mean, I haven't done that either, but I guess I haven't had a partner that's.
When's the last time you threw up, Alex? From drinking.
Oh.
Not flu.
Well, I did it a lot in college. I won't lie to you. It's probably been a few years at this point.
I don't want to answer the question.
Ash is not answering.
Well, he went on his bachelor party 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I did not. I did, no, we didn't.
Well, that's recent.
It was tame. We did not. No one threw up. No one was. I don't even think I got drunk. I got a little tipsy, sure. But I blacked out on a boat this past summer. Definitely threw up on the boat in the water.
Oh, I did that once.
It was not. I blame the boat more than the alcohol, but there were.
It's not true.
Last time I threw up from drinking, the day I graduated from UWM.
Really?
I got blasted. Not only did I throw up.
What year was this, Steve?
It was 83. I got so drunk, I threw up about like 5:30 or whatever it was. And then again later at 10:30, I went right back to drinking.
Oh, well, yeah.
Boot and rally.
Puke and rally. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a true story.
Absolutely. I want to solve a problem before we get out of here. The sports calendar is too convoluted today. Right? Sweet 16, opening day.
Yeah.
It's too much going on. NBA playoffs start soon. We need to separate. Masters are actually perfectly timed, though. You get done with the national championship
game
Monday.
Best TV.
It's good nap TV. I'm not a big golf guy, but I'll watch Sunday a little bit. So we need to move opening day back a few days. Right? You've got the round of 64, the round of 32, Saturday, Sunday. Opening day should be Monday. That way you have a couple days of baseball before Sweet 16. When it comes to the NFL draft, we need to move that up. It needs to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Why?
Because Friday becomes an all-day thing, especially, and maybe I'm being biased and recency biased with it, in Green Bay. This should be during the week, right? Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, all day long. And then you continue the festivities of the draft throughout the weekend, right? Saturday, Sunday, you still have things going on. We just need to be smarter about overlap.
There's too much stuff that's happening at the same time.
Well, baseball is always its own worst enemy.
Yeah. There's too many games, right?
Well, yes, there's too many games, A. But also, starting the season on the day of the Sweet 16 is not wise for ratings.
No, that's dumb.
Right? If you want to go baseball all day in their final year on ESPN, you go baseball all day, but you don't want that opposite of huge, huge, huge games with huge, huge, huge fan bases.
We know the tournament's not moving.
No,
of course
not.
They're set. So, I mean, baseball seems like they'd have some play there.
The World Series should probably be in September. And I know it's an October thing.
Sometimes it goes to November, though, depending on how the season really shapes it out.
Maybe we should move the season. Milwaukee has a roof. Started in March.
I guess I'd care more if the Brewers were actually in the World Series. Then I'd actually pay attention to that.
That never happened.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I heard the White Sox are already out of the contention.
They were eliminated for this year last season.
Damn, that was fast.
That was really fast. Ashley, a White Sox fan, as we mentioned, found that you could find first row seats behind home plate for $90 for opening day.
Yeah, they sold. I should have bought them. They sold, though. I tried.
So what's the new ballpark called? Because I remember Comiskey when I was
it's
going
Comerica,
there.
Right?
No, that's Detroit. It's called Rate Field.
Yeah, again, stupid name. Just great rate? Company probably, but stupid name.
Just Rate. It used to be called Guaranteed Rate, and before that it was U.S. Cellular. And it was Comiskey. It's all terrible.
Branding has done crazy things to ballparks. It's just like no one's calling it Rates.
No, I call it the Cell, and I will always call it the Cell.
Yeah, see? I call it Comiskey, even though it's not.
And how many people still call AmFam Field Miller Park?
A lot.
I call it County Stadium.
Old. So.
Yeah, he's old. Yeah. That's the theme of today.
That old stuff's getting sick or getting really tired. I can already tell you. I'm already almost agitated about it.
Okay, well, I guess we'll end the episode on that note. Steve Scafidi.
I'm just teasing you. I want to see your reaction to me getting a little agitated.
His reaction was the turtle and correct.
Yeah. I'm getting out of here. That was your reaction.
Well, we're going to get out of here anyway. Ashton Rotman, good job today.
B+ for me.
Deep dish pizza's good.
You like pizza soup?
I don't like soup. Do love pizza, though. Soup sucks.
I trust Ashton's opinion, so I could be. Oh, my mind Ashton's, could be changed.
Done. Ashton's a fake chef. Hey, speaking of fake chefs. Wow. All right. Animosity is high.
It's big. It's big today.
Will there be an episode 2? We will all find out together. Steve Scafidi, Alex Drove, Ashton Rotman. It's Cheap Sheets, ESPN Milwaukee.
Boom.